Welcome to Tales of Waikanae Estuary, written and narrated by Mick Perrier.
Hi, my name is Sammy. I'm a fur seal and I live on Kapiti Island off the west coast of New Zealand with my family. After my adventures on the Waimanu Lagoon, I was very curious to see what lay through the large pipe under the roadway, but a white goose had warned me about Missy the fierce guard dog who lived there, so I was too scared to explore it. Then one day I caught one of the many mullet that live in the lagoon for breakfast and started feeling brave. I thought I might just swim through the pipe. After all, I could come back quickly if I had to. Maybe the guard dog just doesn't like geese. I'll stay in the water where it's safe. So I slowly swam through the pipe. It was very dark and scary. When I came out the other side, I found myself in a beautiful new lagoon. There was a little steel footbridge across the narrow part, and better still, no sign of the fierce guard dog. I was very pleased that I'd been brave enough to take a look for myself. To one side was a tree full of nesting pied shags, and they smelt terrible. "By golly, you pong," I said. "No, we don't," said the pied shag. "We think we smell lovely." I realised that I had been a bit rude, so I tried to think of something nice to say. "I like your tree," I told the pied shag. "Thank you, Sammy. We found it 6 years ago, and now look how many birds use it," the pied said. "Way up in the top are 4 royal spoonbills, and further down are 6 little black shags and a little shag." "By golly, I didn't realise there were so many different shags in the lagoon," I said. It was very interesting to see, but I was feeling a little dizzy from the horrible smell, so I decided to keep exploring upstream. I swam slowly under the little footbridge and up the middle of the lagoon, where I came across Thomas the White Goose. "Hello, Thomas, how are you?" "Not bad, Sammy, but I'm getting too old to be looking after baby swans. I'm thinking about retiring," said Thomas the Goose. "But Thomas, you are world famous," I reminded him. "You have been living on the lagoon for over 30 years and you have helped raise over 73 baby cygnets." "I know, but I'm just getting too old and cranky for babysitting these days," Thomas replied. He did look a bit tired. "Well, good luck, Thomas. I will continue exploring." There was a little creek leading off the lagoon, so I decided to swim up it and see where it went. If I went quietly, Missy the fearsome guard dog might not notice me. Suddenly, the creek was teeming with lovely sleek eels. I'd never seen so many in one place before. "This must be where Trish, the eel lady, lives," I thought. "I better not eat any for lunch in case Missy the guard dog lives here too and gets angry at me." Then I saw Missy, and she was not a big guard dog at all. She was a tiny little Sydney silky dog with a pink ribbon tied to her hair, and she was fast asleep. Perhaps she was more dangerous than she looks. I decided to tiptoe past just in case I woke her up. I swam on up the creek, leaving all those delicious eels behind. Lucky for me, Missy the fierce guard dog stayed asleep. I slipped quietly through the water, past a park that was full of kids that were playing on swings and slides, yelling and making a lot of noise. I kept on swimming until I reached the Waimiha Lagoon. "What a lovely lagoon this is," I thought. "It's very shallow with lots of bushes and trees all round the edges and no houses close by. Waimiha is a great breeding lagoon because it is so quiet and the kids and dogs can't even get into the water. So it is nice and safe for the birds who lay eggs and raise their young." I spotted a little viewing hide where people would sit and watch the birds and animals on the lagoon without them knowing that they were there. I saw some pukekos prancing round while 2 paradise ducks were swimming round the lagoon. I swam over to the nearest duck who had a bright white head and colourful wing feathers. "Hello, Mr. Paradise Duck," I said. "I'm Mrs. Paradise Duck," she corrected me. "We're not like most other ducks, you know. Usually it's the drakes who get to wear the bright colours. But my male partner is the drab one with his plain black head and dark feathers." "You do look lovely," I said. "Yes, but it's very hard to hide with my nest in the scrub because my white head and coloured feathers make me easy to spot. I can't work it out." "Never mind," I said. "I heard your alarm call and it's very loud." "Yes, that's true. I'm also a wonderful actress. You should see me pretending that my wing is broken when danger threatens my babies. They are very clever and will swim out to the middle of the lagoon to escape. They'll even dive down into the water to hide. That's how intelligent they are." As she swam away, I saw 6 royal spoonbills standing in the shallow water. Some were standing on just one leg, and I wondered how they didn't topple right over. Hi, Spoonbill, what beautiful birds you are. We're not called royal for nothing, one of the Spoonbills replied. Our long black legs, our large spoon-shaped bills, white feathers and yellow eyebrows do make us look rather special, and we know it. There are none quite like us anywhere on the Kapiti Coast. Didn't I see you at the top of the shag tree earlier, I asked. Yeah, that's right, we like to roost at the top of large trees at times because we feel quite safe up so high. I was trying to listen to him, but I kept being distracted by the little swallows ducking and diving all over the place. There must have been a lot of insects hatching on the lagoon for them to catch and eat. They flew swiftly and turned very quickly in the air, helped by their forked tails. One little swallow came to rest on a nearby flax bush, so I swam over to say hello. Thanks for stopping, little swallow, I said. That's all right, Sammy, I've eaten my fill of insects and need to rest, replied the swallow. Do you nest here? I asked. We used to hang our nests from the ceiling beams of the little hide, said the swallow. You won't believe the time it takes to build a nest. We make ours with little mud bricks, which we bring up in our beaks. It takes ages, and then we line the inside with feathers to make it cozy and warm. But every time we build a nest here, before we can lay our eggs in it, some naughty kids would arrive and destroy it. It's very sad to see. After all the work we did bringing the mud up from the lagoon, so we don't nest in this lovely spot anymore. What a shame, I said sadly as the swallow flitted away. It was time to go back home. I slowly swam back downstream, past Missy the guard dog, still sleeping, past the kids' playground, under the little footbridge, and past the smelly shag-filled tree, then through the pipe and back to the Waikanae River. As it turned out, swimming through the pipe to the Waimiha Lagoon wasn't scary at all. Hi, my name is Sammy and I'm a fur seal and I live on Kapiti Island off the west coast of New Zealand with my family. After my adventures on the Waimiha Lagoon, I decided to head back downstream. I snuck past Missy the guard dog, under the little bridge and past the shag tree, past the sculps and ducks and geese and into the Waikanae River. I was quietly minding my own business when around 50 little black shags landed in the water next to me. What are you doing? You really frightened me, I said. Sorry about that, Sammy, said one of the little black shags, but there's a large school of little fish in the river at the moment, and we're all feeling very hungry. We haven't had any fish since yesterday. Just watch us, we'll show you how to catch fish, cried the other shag. With that, all the shags dove under the water together. They started to herd the little fish upstream towards a large shingle bank. When the shags in the front were overtaken by the ones at the back, they flew out of the water to the front again, dived back down and continued to chase the fish onto the shingle banks where there was a frenzy of feeding. I was amazed to watch the terrified little fish throwing themselves out of the water onto the shingle to get away from the shags. Just then, two white-faced herons flew over and rushed along the shingle bank, gobbling up the little fish that the shags had chased up there. Behind the herons, four royal spoonbills flew in and followed the herons on their feeding run. I've never seen anything like it. There were three different bird species working together, although the shags were doing all the work and the other birds were reaping the rewards. After everyone had eaten, all the shags flew off together and landed on one side of the river, where they sat with their wings spread out. Why are you all holding your wings out like that? I asked. We spend a lot of time under the water fishing, so we don't have oil on our body that most birds have. Otherwise we would float, explained one of the shags. That helps us to catch fish, but sometimes we get waterlogged, so we have to hang our wings out to dry. It was wonderful to see. I love visiting the Waikanae estuary because there are more seabirds and waterbirds here than anywhere else in the Wellington area, not to mention the seals like me that come in now and again. Soon the sky began to grow pink and golden. The birds began their goodnight calls. The sun was setting behind Kapiti as the last rays of the sun streamed into the heavens. As the sun disappeared, I snuck under a flax bush and curled up. I knew there wouldn't be any possums or moorfowl this close to the ocean to come and wake me up, so I should get a good night's sleep. In the morning, I decided to explore the sandspit. As I got closer, I came across Bluey, the little blue penguin. Hi, Bluey, I didn't know you visited the beach. Oh, yes, I come here quite regularly, Bluey said. It's such a lovely spot with plenty of fish to eat. Just make sure you watch out for orcas, I warned him as we surfed the breaker onto the beach. On the beach were a large group of white-fronted terns. Hi, I said to no one in particular. How are the terns today? Very good, one replied. There are a lot of little herrings just past the breakers, and we're having a morning feast. You are all looking very smart, I said, admiring their forked tail to help them fly so swiftly. I can see why you're called the swallows of the sea. Next to the terns was a group of red-billed gulls. Why are you all facing into the wind? I asked one of the gulls. If we don't do that, then all our feathers would get ruffled, explained the red-billed gull. So you can always tell which way the wind is blowing by looking at which way we are facing, and we always take off into the wind. The black-backed gulls were off to one side. Hi, gulls, I said. The last time I saw you was on the boulder bank on Kapiti Island where you were nesting. G'day, Sammy, said a large bird. We have finished nesting now, and if you look amongst us, those large brown birds are our babies. Further up the beach were two Caspian terns. Hi, Mr. Caspian. My, you are large, handsome birds. Thanks, Sammy. We are the largest terns on the sandspit. We like to fly across the ocean, said the Caspian terns. Sometimes we go across the Pacific Ocean all the way to South America, but now we're having a rest. We really like it here, but we wish those dogs were on the lead. Are there dogs running loose on Waikanae Beach? I said, that's a worry. Ask Ollie the oyster catcher, said Mr. Caspian. She knows all about dogs. I found Ollie further along the beach. She was quite upset. It's really hard being an oyster catcher, said Ollie, walking across the sand toward me on her long orange legs. She was a large bird with glossy black feathers and a bright orange beak. I don't have webbed feet like most seabirds. I have feet like a chicken, she explained, and I can't hide very well because my black feathers stand out against the light-coloured sand. I like living here on the sandspit because I have a lovely nesting place and plenty of food with lots of logs to hide behind. I don't build a nest, though. If I did that on the beach, people and dogs would notice it, so I just lay my eggs on the sand. My spotted eggs are the same colour as the sand, so they're very hard to see. When I sit on the eggs, it looks like I'm just sitting on the sand. But the dogs are a real problem. There are two kinds of dogs on the beach. The first one is the little pet dogs. They use their sight and love to chase us birds. But it's quite easy for us to get off the eggs, run very fast on our long legs and lead them away. So the second kind is the hunting dogs, spaniels and labradors, which are more trouble. They use their noses to sniff out where I've been nesting, and when my babies are first hatched, they can't fly away. They are camouflaged the same colour as the eggs, so they blend into the sand. I teach them to freeze, crouch down and not move, but these hunting dogs can track them down, so I lose quite a few of my babies and have to start all over again with another nest. I didn't realise the problems you have, Ollie, I said. Oh, look out, she cried. Here comes two large hunting dogs off the leash. I can help. Let them chase me and keep away from your babies, I said quickly. I jumped up and down and waved my flippers at the dogs so they would chase me instead. It worked. They chased me all the way into the water, but they left the oyster catcher alone. Bye-bye, Ollie, I called as I dived into the surf, waving my flippers in farewell as I returned home to Kapiti Island.
You have been listening to Tales of Waikanae Estuary, written and narrated by Mick Perrier. Brought to you by Coast Access Radio, 104.7 FM, and Waikanae. Funded by New Zealand On Air.
This program is made with assistance of New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and access internet radio. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.